Part 5, Chapter 7. Turl was standing just outside the library, looking down the grass-grown street. Johnny shifted his position to see what Turl was looking at. He went rigid with shock. 100 yards away, there was Windsplitter, and somebody on him, and 3 other horses behind him. Turl was just standing there, watching the street. The moment had come. It was not coordinated, but Johnny knew he was having his last chance. He snapped the metal tool out of his ankle cuff and slashed the leash. It parted. Like a streak of light, Johnny sprinted out of the door, past Turl. Suddenly yanking talons caught in the buckskin, it ripped. Zigzagging like a hare, Johnny headed for the nearest tree cover, momentarily expecting a pistol blast in the back. He halted with his back braced against a broad aspen. It was Chrissy. And not only Chrissy, there was Patty. A sob surged up through Johnny. Chrissy's glad cry rang out.
Johnny!
Patty yelled with delight.
Johnny! Johnny!
And Windsplitter started to trot toward him.
Go back!
Screamed Johnny.
Run! Oh my God, run!
They halted, perplexed, their gladness turning into alarm. At a distance, behind Johnny, they could see a thing. They started to turn the horses. Johnny crouched and whirled. Turl was still standing in the library door. Johnny grabbed the handgun from his pouch and threw the safety off. He let the handgun show.
If you fire on them, you're dead!
He shouted. Turl just stood there. There was a turmoil of horses behind Johnny. He risked a glance back. Windsplitter had reared. He had seen no reason not to approach his master. He was fighting to come forward.
Run, Chrissy! Run!
Screamed Johnny. Turl was walking forward, rumbling, indolent. He had not drawn his gun.
Tell him to ride up closer,
called Turl.
Stand where you are,
shouted Johnny.
I'll shoot!
Turl leisurely strolled forward.
Don't get them hurt, animal.
Johnny stepped out from the tree. The handgun was extended. He was sighting it on Turl's mask tube.
Be reasonable, animal,
said Turl, but he stopped.
You knew they would be here today!
Yes. I've been tracking them by recon drone for days. Ever since they left your village. Put the gun away, animal.
Behind him, Johnny could hear the horses milling. If only they would run! Turl, paw staying clear of his gun, was reaching for his breast pocket.
Stay still or I'll shoot!
Called Johnny.
Well, animal, you can go ahead and pull the firing catch if you like. The electrical connector has a dummy wire in it.
Johnny looked at the gun. He took a deep breath and lined it up. He clenched the trigger. Nothing happened. Turl finished his motion to his breast pocket. He took out the gold coin and tossed it in the air and caught it.
I, not Kerr, sold you the gun, animal.
Johnny pulled a kill club from his belt. He braced himself for a charge. Turl's paw motion was swifter than the eye. His belt gun was out. It fired a sharp bark. An inhuman scream racketed out behind Johnny. He glanced back.
No!
A pack horse was down, threshing.
Your friends will be next.
Johnny lowered the club.
That's better. Now help me round these creatures up so we can get them in the truck.
Part 5, Chapter 8. The truck bumped southward with its cargo of freight and despair. Collared and cinched up to a bracing, Johnny looked over the scene in misery. Hattie, bruised from a fall in the melee, was sitting bolt upright, arms lashed to her sides and her back lashed to a truck stake. She was in shock, and her face was gray-white. She was 8 now. The wounded horse, still bleeding from a deep blast penetration in its right shoulder, still burdened with its pack, lay on its side, legs kicking slightly from time to time. Turl had simply picked it up and dumped it into the truck bed. Johnny worried that it might kick out and break the left leg of another horse. It was one of Johnny's old string, named Blodgett. The three other horses were snubbed tight to the truck stakes, and their nostrils were flaring in fear as the plane fled fast below the vehicle. Chrissy was lashed to a bracing across from Johnny. Her eyes were shut. Her breathing was shallow. Questions had surged in Johnny, but he blocked them with tight lips. His own plans looked futile to him. He blamed himself for delaying his escape. He might have known that Turl had it all worked out. Hatred of the monster choked his throat. At length, Chrissy opened her eyes and looked at him. She saw he was watching Patty.
I couldn't leave her,
said Chrissy.
She followed, and I took her back twice. But the third time we were too far out in the plain. It was better to go on.
Just rest, Chrissy,
said Johnny. The horse, Blodgett, moaned as the truck banged over some rough ground.
I know I was early, but Windsplitter came home. He was on the plain below the pass, and some of the boys were out to drive some cattle up, and they saw him and Dancer and brought them in.
Dancer was the lead horse Johnny had taken, a mare. Chrissy was quiet for a while. Then,
Windsplitter had a fresh scar on him, like a puma had raked him, and it looked like perhaps he might have run off and left you. I thought maybe you were hurt.
Yes, thought Johnny. Windsplitter could have wandered back last year, and when he tried to mount up through the passes, found them blocked with snow. He would have wandered back to winter on the plain, followed by Dancer. There was a deep furrow, now healing, on Windsplitter's rump.
It's all right,
said Johnny, soothingly.
I couldn't stand the idea of you lying down there hurt.
The truck bumped on for a while.
Johnny, there was a great village.
I know.
Johnny, that's a monster, isn't it?
She twitched her head toward the cab.
Yes, it won't harm you.
Any lie to calm her.
I heard you speak its language. It has a language, and you talk it.
I've been its captive for almost a year.
What will it do? To Patty? To us?
Don't worry too much about it, Chrissy.
Yes, God alone knew what the monster would do to them now. There was no reason to tell her this had messed up his escape. It wasn't her fault. It was his own. He had delayed too long. The truck swerved across a broken bridge and jolted on. Johnny decided he had better tell her something to calm her.
It apparently wants something from me. I will have to do it now. It won't really harm you, just threats. When I've done whatever it is, it will let us go.
He didn't like to lie. He had felt all along that Turl would kill him when he had served his unknown purpose. Chrissy managed a shaky smile.
Old Mr. Jimson is parson and mayor now. We got through the winter all right.
She was silent for a while.
We only ate 2 of your horses.
That's good, Chrissy.
I made you some new buckskins. They're in that pack.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Patty, her eyes dilated, suddenly screamed.
Is he going to eat us?
No, no, Patty. It doesn't eat living things. It's all right, Patty.
She subsided.
Johnny.
Chrissy paused.
You're alive. That's the main thing, Johnny.
Tears welled out of her eyes.
I thought you were dead.
Yes, He was alive. They were alive. But he didn't know for how long. He thought of Turl breaking the legs of the cattle. The truck rattled through an expanse of brush.
Johnny, you're not mad at me, are you?
Oh, dear God. Mad at you? Oh, God, no. He couldn't talk. He shook his head. The roar of the mine became louder in the distance.